Oh, Father, You have already blessed us in a mighty way. And I want to sort of be like the frosting on the cake. For You gave this message, Lord, I want You to present it so that it will impact our lives and we will have greater hope, stronger faith, and more courage. Lord, use me in spite of me to be a blessing. And may the children benefit from this presentation so that they see that You not only love them very much, but that You're coming soon and You want us all to be ready. So bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's really beautiful. Oh, I know what that is. Okay. Go ahead and show the video, everybody. I'm sure you're all aware that that's a brief snippet of what happened a little over a week ago in Russia by the Ural Mountains. The great ball of fire that exploded. It's quite an event that took place, and it's why I'm standing in the pulpit today. My sermon title today is Great Balls of Fire. Now, I want to say to you first and foremost that there have been other meteors in the past, okay? I admit that. For example, in 1992 was the Peeksville, New York meteorite. My bit of information says perhaps the best known meteorite fall is the Peekskill meteorite. I never even heard of it. It's in 1992, and it was photographed or videographed by 16 different videographers. And it was a fireball, just like the one you saw. And it says they actually recovered a piece of it at the Peekskill, New York. And the object that they found was a mass of 27 pounds. There's another one in 2009 in Bone, Indonesia. Hadn't heard about that one either. This one was 10 meters in diameter. The fireball contained an estimated energy of 50 kilotons of TNT, or about twice the Nagasaki atom bomb. Then in 2009 in southwestern U.S. was another sighting, California, northern Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Colorado. The bright fireball explosion associated with the breakup of the substantial fraction of the object. An object trail can be seen to continue northward after the bright fireball event. The shock from the final breakup triggered 7 seismological stations in northern Utah. And finally, the one you just witnessed that we all heard about, or you should have heard about, in Russia just over a week ago, in which I saw anywhere from 500 to 1,500 people were injured, mostly by shards of glass because of the explosion. Incredible. And by the way, when I mentioned over here, the Bone Indonesian was 10 meters in diameter. They estimate that this one in Russia was 17 meters in diameter. And that would be 10,000 tons falling out of the sky. And brothers and sisters, this is definitely great balls of fire. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew 24. And we're going to read verse 3 and 29, and then we're going to go to Luke 21. And let me tell you why I'm talking to you today, why I felt it necessary to take the pulpit after the event that occurred last week. Matthew, the 24th chapter, as you're turning there, you know this is the chapter on the end times. And the setting here we'll find in verse 3. Then we're going to go to verse 25. Then we'll go to Luke 21. Great balls of fire. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, everybody have 24, verse 3. Children, do you have your Bibles? Follow along as we read verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, notice this, Jesus, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, I want you to notice, if you read verse 1 and 2, Jesus just finished telling them, they were just looking at, admiring the temple, and Jesus said to them, not one stone will stand upon another. Okay? And when they got private with Jesus, they said to him, tell us when these things will be, and what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So he took the story of the destruction of Jerusalem and combined it with the last days because of the similarities involved. Now skip to verse 25 and notice one of the signs that Jesus mentioned to the disciples that would cause to alert us of his soon coming. Verse 25. See, I do not think that's right. 29. Thank you. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that would be during the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, so this is after the Dark Ages, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and powers of heaven will be shaken. Okay, now let's go to Luke 21. And this is Luke's rendition of the same sermon that Jesus gave in Matthew 24. And notice the specific counsel he gives us here as we look at verse 11 and then 25 and 28. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famine and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from where? From heaven. Verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear, the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the earth will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man come in the clouds of glory with power and great glory. And now when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. My friends, there have been other fireballs from the sky. But I do not want you to get anesthetized to the fact that it's still one of the signs. And when you add it to all the things that are happening around this earth, I'm of the opinion that we must admit that Jesus' coming is very, very soon. And before I launch into my sermon, Great Balls of Fire, let me say to you, the scientist will explain all of this to you. Just like they did to the people in Noah's day. When they called Noah a fanatic, an idiot, demented, and completely ignored his message to the point that only 8 got on the boat. And when the first drop of rain fell, all pandemonium broke loose, especially amongst those that listened to the scientific community for the explanation of what they said was going to happen. These are one of the signs. We cannot afford to ignore it. Therefore, the Bible says that we must look up. And I want to give you 4 reasons why we should look up. Reason number 1. Turn with me to Romans 8:34. We should look up because we see Jesus. Romans 8:24. Look what it says. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Yes, we are to look up. Luke wrote, lift up your head and look up. Look up to Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father. By the way, do you know what right hand means? Some people literally put it that God's sitting here and over there is Jesus. Right hand means the power of the Father is Jesus. He's in the power position. And the purpose of His power position is to do what? You got to read the text again. To do what? To make intercession for us. That's why He's in the power position. And by the way, it doesn't say A, this, B, C, D, D. No. It says, make intercession for us. Amen. We've got to look up, folks. We've got to keep our eyes pinned on Jesus. I don't know what that's doing. I want it to stop right now. That's why Luke tells us to look up. So we can see Jesus and we can know He's interceding for us. Take a look at Hebrews 7:25. So we look up to see Jesus and He's making intercession for us. We already read that by Paul and Luke. Let's read Paul in the book of Hebrews writing to his own countrymen. Look what he says to them. This to me is incredible and inspiring and encouraging. And in this society in which we're living, tough times, tough knocks, folks, we must look up. We got to pin our eyes on Jesus. It says, therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make what? Intercession for us. What does He always do? Make intercession for us. What about during His coffee break? Doesn't have a coffee break. What about when He goes to the bathroom? Doesn't go to the bathroom. What about when He sleeps at night? Doesn't sleep at night. He is awake 24/7 for us, to make intercession for us. As these signs and wonders are occurring all around us, and folks, they're not only going to be scary, but they're going to be awe-ing. When you hear of a preacher nearby who is not preaching the truth, raise somebody from the dead, and they have it on videotape, you better have your eyes up. Because if you don't, it says the signs and wonders will almost fool the elect. Almost fool the very elect. So we look up to see Jesus. He's interceding for us as our high priest. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. You still should be in Hebrews. Look what it says. I love this. Have you ever read Hebrews? Oh, I know you have. Have you read it recently? Well, if you haven't, let me tell you. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Done. When we get to 8, Paul says, now, of what I've been talking, here is the sum. Did you see that in verse 1 of chapter 8? He's now saying, now, I'm going to sum up the 7 verses I just wrote to you. 7 chapters. I'm going to sum it up. We have such a high priest. And when you go back, you'll see. Talking about Melchizedek. Talking about Moses. Talking about angels. All of them ministering for the people of God. And now it says, now let me sum it up. We have a high priest just like those others, only better. Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. And now it's not only the right hand of the throne, not just the right hand of God, but of the throne of God, meaning the power position of the throne in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. That's in heaven, folks. We know exactly where Jesus is. In fact, let me take a time out here and tell you very plain and simple. A Seventh-day Adventist has the privilege above all other Christians, generally speaking, to know where Jesus is right now, what He's doing right now, and why He hasn't come yet. You ask any other Christian and they can't really give you the answer why. They do not understand the heavenly sanctuary, the high priest Jesus, and the work that He is doing. We have that privilege. Are we taking advantage of that privilege by studying and praying and spending time in our Bible and spirit of prophecy so we will be looking up instead of down? And we won't be shaken or taken away by the things that's going to be happening on this earth. In fact, go to Hebrews 3:1 and look what we're told in Hebrews 3:1. Couldn't be any more explicit. Put all these texts together, folks. I hope you write them down. Check them when you get home. Listen what it says. Here's what Paul penned to his fellow countrymen, which he desperately wanted to accept Jesus and be part of the Christian community. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, look at, study, focus on, intently understand the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Couldn't it say it any more clearly? And by the way, apostle, what does that mean in the Greek? Apostle is the one sent. Jesus came in the flesh. Okay? So you should study His life, but notice what Paul told the Hebrews to also check out the high priest Jesus, because the two go together. The life of Christ and His ministry as high priest. That's why we Adventists know where Jesus is, what He's doing, and why He hasn't come yet. So folks, when you see these things begin to take place, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. For here you will see Jesus. You'll understand He's interceding for you in the heavenly sanctuaries, the high priest, and we should focus on that. Reason number 2, God says that is to turn our eyes to heaven. Now let's look at pop culture and let's look at heavenly culture. Pop culture, materialism. The tendency to consider material possessions and physical comforts as more important than spiritual values. Let's look at Proverbs 12, folks. Take your Bibles quickly and turn to Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And let's see what the heavenly culture, the heavenly council says to us in spite of what the earthly council or the pop culture is telling us. Proverbs 12. I love this. I want to be like this, folks. I'm not saying I am yet, but I really want to be like this. Do you have 12, 24, and 25. I made a big mistake here. Okay, it's 11:25. Thank you for helping me. I appreciate that. Take a look at 11:24 and 25. Check yourself to see how you suit here. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made what? And he who waters will also be watered himself. That's exactly the opposite of the pop culture of today, which is reigning supreme in all our school system. Our kids are getting bombarded with this philosophy, totally in opposition to that of heavenly culture. Number two, secularism. Indifference to or rejection or exclusion of religion or religious considerations. And what does the Bible say in Matthew 6:33? Come on. Come on, Matthew 6. Don't turn your Bible. Shame on you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Secularism, the exclusion of religion in our society today, is reigning supreme. The Bible says just the opposite. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We must look up. Number three, evolution. And the Bible says Genesis 1:1. I thought, Lord, what text can I use? And all of a sudden it dawned on me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Could it be any plainer? And now the scientists have discounted this, ridiculed, mocked, made fun of the religious people that believe that. I refuse to be intimidated, even though I cannot answer every one of their questions or objections. All I know is I decide to fall on the side of the Bible that says plainly, in the beginning, God created. That's it. And we've got to look up, or we are going to be inundated by the pop culture, which is powerfully telling our kids just the opposite of what the Scriptures say. Number four, atheism. Atheism. And you all know that. The theory or belief that God does not exist. And I picked Hebrews 11, verse 6. It is impossible to... What? It's impossible... No. Now you got me mixed up. And that's my own fault. I should have known this one. I do know this one, but I want to... Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, let me just take a brief note back over to evolution. If you think evolution's been proven and is factual by all the evidence, I want you to know you're absolutely wrong. There's a great leap of faith that a scientist has to make in order to believe in evolution, if you've ever studied it. Secondly, it's a leap of faith to believe the Bible. Okay? We're in the same boat. I choose to come down on the side of the Bible. Besides, God answering my prayer, there's no doubt to me that I'm not leaping in faith by believing in God. He answers prayer. Which reminds me, that's why we at this church try to pray every time, everywhere, all the time. We try to invite you to come. Why? The more you pray and the more you see His answers, the stronger your faith is going to be. God only answers prayers of those who pray. And don't say, well, I think it. You know, well, that's good. But then when you're done thinking it and something happens, you could say, well, maybe it was a coincidence. If you speak it out loud and this thing comes to pass, the Spirit comes to you and you know that it was God answering prayer. Immorality, folks. Immorality. I've got to say something here. Anything goes in our society today. Do I need to tell you that? And by the way, you know, I just learned that our president is sending out his envoys to demand that the Supreme Court strike down the ruling that marriage is between a man and a woman. And already in Canada, if you stand at the pulpit and sincerely and lovingly say homosexuality is a sin, if one of your parishioners calls in, you're arrested for a hate crime. The law's passed. It's coming here, folks. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. Because I want you to know, alcoholism is a sin. Drug addiction is a sin. Immorality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Lying is a sin. So is homosexuality. Amen. All of them are sins. All of them will exclude you from heaven. And I don't want to be cataloged in what I can preach to you about and what I can't, when the Bible is very explicit. It doesn't mean that they're a worse sinner than we are. That's no worse than lying. That's no worse than stealing. That's no worse than cheating. Do you understand that? It's sin, though. We're getting to the point where they're going to tell me I can't do it. And what does 1 Corinthians 6:18 tell us? Young people, will you listen to me? Flee sexual immorality. Point blank. Above all sins, this is the worst sin because it's against your own body. And if you're watching TV, if you're watching movies, if you're listening to music outside the Christian culture, you are being bombarded with sexual innuendos of all kinds and shapes and sizes. And you will think that this is something you need to do, try, that you're missing something. And the Bible flatly states, no. Wait till you're married, because this sin can really mess you up. Amen. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So we're to look up. We're to look up also because the media. Oh boy, the media. In the pop culture, we're talking about books, movies, radio, music, the games that our boys especially are playing on their computer or TV. Our boys are being murdered, by the way. I want you to know that. More of our boys are being addicted to these stupid games. To the point now there are more women in college and graduate school than men. I could go on and on and on, folks. What does the Bible say? Psalms 101:3. You look it up. Come on. And read it. What does it say? I will put nothing evil before my eyes. Can it be said any better than that? And mass media is inundating us with filth. By the way, I don't know about you, but men like action movies, okay? As a Christian, I can flat out reject those that have skin, okay? Maybe adults, you're getting me, right? I don't have to be explicit. I know I don't need that. I don't want that. But boy, some of these action movies, and I sit there and I'll think, how in the world, you know, this is the movie world. I'm watching this, but if 700 cars just crashed and 25,000 people were shot at while the hero is running his car against, running away from the bad guy, and they're crashing cars and killing people all over, and yet, do you ever see anybody arrested? Do you? Do you see any insurance company saying, you're paying for all these cars you ruined? It's an unrealistic world. That's not my point. So what did we have down in the strip here? Would you get in your car and start shooting at another car as you're driving down the street in the middle of everything? Folks, we've gone nuts because media has taken our heart and our minds. I didn't know that. Most people thought it was a movie being filmed, Ron said, and that makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's what the movies are. Murder, rape, pillage, plunder, destruction. We've got to look up. This is my only salvation. Because some of that action stuff really draws me. So if you think I'm speaking because I'm this perfecter than thou pastor that you have, I want you to know I'm in your corner, unfortunately, but I'm trying to fight out of it. I'm trying to fight out of it. And I found out that I'm to look up. It's funny how, was it Ron's prayer or whoever, somebody prayed, they alluded to this. And here's my text to sum up point number two. Say it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Period. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Period. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Isn't that amazing? Verbatim. So folks, we know where the battle is. And we are told to look up. The third reason we're to look up is Revelation 14:6. Now I'm slipping a hobby horse in here. No, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm slipping one of my pet things in here. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. And to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, except for black people. I don't want black people in heaven. I'm white. Well, Jenny will call me on that. I'm not white. So I don't like white people. Is that what it says? If there's anyone in this congregation that has a hatred towards any other culture in your heart, no matter what reason it's there, you're going to be kept from heaven if you don't deal with it, if I don't deal with it. It says, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. Now, how many does that exclude? We're to look up, folks, because check this out. I thought, okay, how does this make sense, Lord? I'll tell you why. See those people looking up? When you're looking up, you kind of over the tier, you see a person there, but you're not sure what color they are. You're not sure if they're rich or poor. You're not sure if they're big or small. You're not sure if they're tall or what. Well, maybe you'll know if they're tall. Okay? You might not even know if it's a woman or a man. You're looking up. Because it doesn't matter. This message is for everybody. So when we see these signs, we need to be looking up and keep our eyes up. We see Jesus, and the only thing He's doing is interceding for us to try to keep us in line. We see what the world is trying to do with us, and we've got to stay with our Bibles. And now we have to look up so that no person is excluded from the love we have in our heart for Jesus, for them, because of any reason such as culture, creed, color. Number four and last reason. You know, I usually like to have three only, but I got four. Because why? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. We must be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. Titus 2:13. Read it with me. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you feel yourself to be the greatest sinner, lift up your head and look away from yourself, away from your sin, to the uplifted Savior, away from the poisonous, venomous bite of the serpent, to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. the U.S. Army officer in charge of training the new inductees into artillery school in Fort Sills, Oklahoma, made a very amazing observation. He stated, in 1958 and 60, the attitude of the inductees, these new men, was so lax that the instructors had a problem getting the men to stay awake and to hear the lecture. And they were coming to me wholesale, complaining about the recruits and trying to figure out how to deal with these men. Would you ever thought you would hear that kind of story in the Army? But then he said, it just so happened that during 1965 and 68, the classes of the inductees that came, hearing the same basic lectures as we gave the 58 to 60 inductees, were very alert and took copious notes. And he observed what made the difference in the class of 1965 versus the class of 1958. He said they knew that in less than 6 weeks they would be facing the enemy in Vietnam. Brothers and sisters, great balls of fire, it is time to look up because the enemy is approaching. Father in heaven, I want to pray that you would bless each person in this sanctuary, that they would know for sure of your love, and that though some of the counsels of this presentation are difficult, Lord, it's because you want us all in heaven. Please give us courage and strength to stand firm for you. Let no one in here be discouraged. And anyone doing hand-to-hand combat with Satan in some of these areas, I pray that first of all they know that you save to the uttermost. You can save anyone. You can save from anything. And that we as a church family here at Paradise are going to stand by your side. And we're going to pray for you, not criticize you, condemn you, or judge you. Because we too are struggling with our own demons. So Lord, give us that courage and strength to come together in unity and fight this battle together so that we can keep our necks craned upward and we will be alerted to all the information we need to deal with what's happening on this earth. Bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.